This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
How about this? According to the Action Network, this is from Anthony Greek, our producer on the Yes Side, road NFL dogs this year, Don and Peter, 62-35-1 against the spread. If all you did was take road dogs, you're in the money by a lot. You're picking it at almost 62%.
And look, and this stat was sent to me by Andrew. The 8-2 Titans upset by the 1-8 Texans, the fourth straight week with a double-digit upset. That's the longest streak since 2009. And the five total double-digit upsets are already one more than the entire 2020 season had. The Texans' win was the latest in the season that a team with the outright worst record in the conference has beaten the outright best team since the 1970 merger. Vegas is having a tough year.
Well, let's bring in Steve Young, who's not having a tough year. The Steve Young Report is brought to you by Bigelow Tea and FW Webb and Weil McLean. And Steve, we start with this. Why are there so many monumental upsets? What's going on in the NFL?
I don't know. The way I think about it is, I remember I told you 20 years ago, because of the rules and they were much more fair fight, defenses started this. Whenever we play, you know, open up training camp, the first few practices and really the first month of the season, defenses were way ahead of offense. Always was, always will be, until the rule changes and it's flipped, where now offenses are well ahead of everybody else. So you see the big scoring early in the game, in the year. Now's a time when all of a sudden defenses that were maybe good, you know, maybe were terrible early, are kind of found their legs. If you think about all four of those kind of big, huge upsets, most of them are because of four guys that have been able to bring the wood, whether it's, you know, the Dolphins, whether it's yesterday's with the Titans. It was a defensive effort that really kind of built the upset. And so I really believe it's because they're finally getting, you know, they're getting up to speed, because the preseason, I always tell you that there's no time. People don't realize in the NFL, there's no time between players and coaches anymore. Less maybe than even college. And so the sophistication of the game is going away. It's getting less and less. And so now you're seeing it play out in the season, where people are not nearly who they would be if they had more time in the offseason. And they have to do it in front of everybody. It's like practicing for a play on stage in front of a live crowd and charging money, right? It's like, well, we're working it out. Well, what do you mean working out? It's done. Like, no, that's how it works now. And so that's why you're seeing stuff get worked out in real time, and that's why I think the big upsets come from.
You think the Giants have a shot tonight?
Yeah. I think the Giants, I mean, you saw them against Kansas City. I mean, they have a shot, yes. Daniel Jones can't throw into the chest of the linebacker that he's responsible for. You know, I mean, they can't do stupid stuff. There's no way. Because I think, the Bucs have, in my mind, everyone in the league now knows that the season's extra long. It's only 7 days longer. But for football players, when you put another game, it's something to talk about. It's something to think about. And now we're into what I call the black hole, or the Bermuda Triangle of the season, which is between Halloween and Thanksgiving, where players are kind of in that rote moment, rote memory. Like it's, it just kind of gets, you just do the same thing. And if it's not something to capture your attention, you kind of get into a malaise a little bit. I think it's more common this time of year. To me, the Bucs off a Super Bowl, tough to hold everyone's attention, tough to, you know, we always talk about Super Bowl hangover, like, oh, it's a hangover. Like, no, but there is something to it. Like, it's hard to hold everybody kind of with a kind of creative tension to go get something great done. So it's like, it's okay. So you follow a couple games, the coach screams at everybody, calls him, blames it on Tom Brady, makes a big scene. And I think that you're going to see a much more energized, focused, out of the black hole or out of the Bermuda Triangle Buccaneers team. So I think, to your original question, Don, it's going to be harder than it would be a week or two ago.
What do you think is wrong with the Bills?
I'm shocked at both sides of the ball, right? I thought that they had a well above average defense, and I thought Josh Allen could not be shut out with the talent he had under 21 points, let's say. I thought those things were for sure, even in the big games. So it makes me worry. I'm not overly worried because I just told you we're in the black hole of the season. So it's like I get to negate everything that's happened in this, you know, the last 3 weeks, which is not right. But I'm still want to believe in the Bills and believe they have the talent and ability and a quarterback to go do it all. But like, it's slightly concerning. I'm not going to freak out. A couple more I might start to freak out. But what's wrong is what's wrong with the Bucs? What's wrong with the Rams? What's wrong with whoever else you want to pick? I mean, there's a lot of great, really good teams that are suffering through the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I believe it's what I just said. And if I'm wrong, then it'll come out in the next couple of weeks. But most good teams will respond. They won't let it go more than a couple of weeks, and they're like, okay, we got to. Even the 49ers, I think they're going to struggle getting all the way back, saw that loss against the Cardinals and said, okay, look, we can no more. And so all of a sudden the Rams, and they go down to Jacksonville and play really well. Like, teams do emotionally, collectively respond. That's football. And that's why I always say Newt Rockne can make a speech and you actually go play better football.
All right, so Mayfield goes after the fans. His wife tweets against the team. Is this just frustration, or are we already laying the groundwork for an exit strategy?
I remember Jeff Garcia's mom or dad used to call into the radio shows and try to defend him, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank you. Because my mom, if she knew that was possible, she would have called. You know, but luckily she didn't call. Maybe it's because it's long distance, too expensive for Britt. He wouldn't have put up with it. But the fear is that family starts to get involved. And I think very rarely, and it's just a problem, and, you know, it never works out. And it's always – not that it's an exit strategy, though, Don. I guess today, you know, that's how people run it, right? Like, I'm tired of this place. I'm Russell Wilson. I'm announcing the game season. I'm out. But then you're not out. Well, then maybe I'm on my way out. Aaron Rodgers, guys, unless you're going to burn it to the ground, I don't know if there's an easy way out. And burn it to the ground is to take the fans and everybody and just stick it to everybody. But I don't think people are really willing to do that anymore. So I don't know anyone's willing to burn it. So they put out the smoke signals. I'm unhappy. I'm not sure. You know, you better pay attention, general manager. You better pay attention, team owner. And then, you know, then they give you what you want or something, and you're doing, you calm down for a little while. But I don't know that I smell like an exit strategy, but family involved on is not a helpful. Yeah. As I've always said, the job of playing NFL, great NFL quarterback, is super hard. It takes every part of yourself. Don't do anything, or anyone around you that's associated with you, do anything that makes that job harder. And that's a great example of it.
Well, I mean, forget about exit strategy, Steve. They might not want him. Mike Tannenbaum said you cannot move forward with him. They should not keep him anyway. So by saying something, if he wants to make that big money contract, it's either going to be with Cleveland. If he's a free agent, he's not going to get that kind of money that he wants. He would have failed in Cleveland.
I agree. That's a whole other subject. I was on the lines of, you know, trying to fight or agitate for change. That's why I would describe it that. But you make another great point, Michael, is that that's not maybe even about that. It's just like, are you playing well enough to even agitate for anything that anybody would want? You know, and that's a whole other problem.
Right.
Like, if you're going to agitate for change, come off a Pro Bowl season or Aaron Rodgers off an MVP season. But don't be a guy that's kind of middling around and then agitate for change. You know what the change is that you're actually working for whatever that security business or whatever thing he's doing an ad for, you know?
Unreal. It really is just unreal with this season.
I hope it's not a generational thing, because I don't want to be the older guy that doesn't understand that the players today don't get it. Like, I want to say, why doesn't he doesn't get it? And then maybe, is it us, or is it them? I want to believe it's them, but I hope it's not us.
We're trying to figure out who the best team in football is. You've always said you got to wait till Thanksgiving. That works the other way too, right? Like, never mind the teams that are good early, the teams that are bad early. So Kansas City now figured it out. Is Kansas City okay? Is Kansas City back to what they
were? Clearly at least okay, right? Could they be good,
so
good, I guess?
All the teams that are screwing around and you're not sure about, do they have a quarterback that can go the distance? Josh Allen, you know, I think you can put Stafford in there. You can obviously put Tom Brady in there. You put Patrick Mahomes in there. You can put. I think the Chargers got somebody. So it's like, I think they've got those teams. To me, no matter where they are, have the ability to go do it. And like, you believe that there's a defense that could run the table like Denver, or someone else could drag a team to a Super Bowl. I think those days are over. Defense matters, but not nearly as much. But do you have a quarterback? And those are the teams that have the quarterback in place. Then there's the teams like the Cardinals, Kyler. Do you trust them? Well, of course we don't, because we've never seen them in that spot. So it's like they might be the best team in the league. And the other thing I want to caution you, remember Tampa Bay Buccaneers a year ago today? It was, I mean, I remember thinking, I don't know. I'm certainly pre-Thanksgiving have no sense that they're for sure going the distance. So people, the great teams, do they have a quarterback? One. Because if you don't, I say you're out. You're out. And so if you have one, then do you catch that fire post-Thanksgiving like Tampa Bay does, like the other teams that I think that I just mentioned? And those are the teams that matter. So the best team in the league today is the one that you believe is going to catch fire with a quarterback that can get it done. And that's about 8-7 teams, right?
So wait, this means I can't even be excited.
Tell him his Washington football team has no chance, Steve. Tell him.
I think they're becoming a real team, Steve.
I will tell you this. Taylor Heinicke is a good player. Like, he's a good player. And I would back him. Now, how can he be great? I have no idea. He doesn't know. Got to keep playing it out. But he's a good player. And that's saying something. I didn't know that he was even a player. I think he's somebody that can – you can – I hate to say it. I don't want to get too far over my skis, but I like him. But no, not now, not yet, no. But again, the only way, Peter, is if the defense, and I'm wrong, that there's a defense in the NFL today that in 2021 with the unfair fight I keep talking about can actually rise up and make it happen. And if you think the Washington Redskins are that good defensively, that are, you know, generational defense, then I say, yeah, you got hope. Because Taylor Heinicke's not going to hold him back. That's why, well, that's the best thing I'd say about him, right? He will not hold you back. Will he be the reason you go? I think he could become that guy. Super exciting for him and the team that somehow out of nowhere, how many times out of nowhere, Tony Romo, do you get a guy that can go do that?
Well,
it's pretty cool.
I'm just excited for his family because as I keep beating this drum, what's clear to me after 14 games with him, Steve, is he's a guy who will have a job for the next 10 years. That's for sure.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. 100%. You study him and you like him. And what I do like him a lot, Peter, is a lot of guys are good players, but they actually, when you say don't get it, they don't have the moxie or the guile or the, I know, you know, some people have it thick. I get it. You know, they'll get it done. They'll figure it out. I don't know exactly how this is going to go down, but it's going to go down. He seems like a guy that's kind of like that.
Couldn't tonight be a little bit of a fun proving ground for Daniel Jones to show us if he has some of that moxie?
Oh, my gosh, please. I mean, I have a little tape tonight. Kind of like, I love Daniel Jones. I hate Daniel Jones. Like come on. Like don't. I have a little tape. I'm going to show the first couple plays of the Chiefs game when he's got the simplest little route against zone. You're responsible for the middle linebacker. Like, all you got to do is look at him. If you look at him, he doesn't know what to do. So just look at him. You know what you're going to throw the football. Nice little 8-yard gain. Like, just look at him. But you know, from the very moment you take the ball, you stare at the receiver. And so then Harry High School follows the look of your stare, and you throw it to his chest. And you're like, no, that's not cool. That can't be what he's about. So is that going to define him? No, he's a much better player than that. But those kind of things, he should. That's a rookie. That's a high. I can say Harry High School. That's like, no, we're not going to allow that. That's not okay. But there's so many other things to like. That yes, he can. Every game, especially on Monday night, is a game that he can go redefine himself and quit doing. Now, that play might not have been, you know, as dumb as you realize. You know, you didn't mind him on TV. And there's things that he does that I think are super dumb that you might maybe not pick up on, but I'm sure you do probably. But there's enough of that that I said, Daniel, come on, man. Is this really – because some guys, how they manage the game, how they deal with the adrenaline and the data and how it all runs through your brain, some guys do top out. Like, that's it. Not smarts now. It's not intellectual. It's really how your brain functions under stress. And guys like that, coaches know not to get into 10-play drives because one of them is going to be a disaster. We might be able to put four or five together. I'm not saying Daniel's that guy. What I'm saying is he does enough goofball things that I worry that is this the theme that tells me that how he processes is topping out. Like, we get great stuff and we get goofball stuff, and that's how we're going to roll. And I would love to find out that I'm wrong which I hope, and that he really can kind of grow out of all that goofball stuff. And really, my gosh, the talent and the ability to go play great football seems to be kind of a high ceiling. So I'm in for that. And I hope tonight's another step forward rather than a step backwards like last Monday night.
Is there any reason, any scenario, any way that you can imagine that if Zach Wilson is healthy that he's not starting against the Texans Sunday?
I pray that, look, you've gone all in. Give all the opportunity. Let him dig. He dug his way out for that one win. I thought when I say little H hero, everything that you do in the league is tough. And all of a sudden you get your face punt bashed in. You're under siege. You're throwing balls all over the place. You're trying to be hero ball. You're trying to do all this crazy stuff. You don't even know what you're doing. And now you're getting beat. And people boo you. You know, all of a sudden you've got to gather yourself and go play some decent ball, which he did in the one win. Then, like, we want to see growth. We want to see maturity. We want to see the ability to, you know, play more fundamental. Maybe you saw Mike play and say, you know what, I'm just going to drop it off. I don't need to make some – I need to prove that I'm a first-round draft choice every play. Just go play good quarterback. Don't worry about the big plays. They'll come to you. They'll come because you have the talent to do it. But play solid, good, managerial quarterback and give them those opportunities. And if you don't give them the opportunity, someone else will. Because the talent you came out of college with, someone will for a long time. Go ahead.
Did you understand, because we talked to you after you made the decision, starting Flacco over White? I mean, White was like the next, you know, coming of
there's a lot we have to guess, but maybe it was the whole Mike White making things more difficult for Zach, and they don't want to do that. I don't think you need to baby Zach or baby quarterbacks in general, but maybe there's some dynamic there maybe Joe was showed something in practice. I mean, who knows? But I think they have to have their North Star be Zach right now. Right. So you got to figure the decisions they're making are for Zach. I got to believe that.
Well, they said that the defense was complicated for Miami. He wanted a veteran in there to be able to pick up those blitzes. That's just coach speak, right?
That's fine. That's fine, Don. But to me, in the end, I'm sorry I have to walk through some noise. In the end, the decision, what they need is Zach Wilson to come and be a generational talent and play for 15 years. So everything for Coach Sala and his job is about making sure, Joe's job is to make sure that Zach's successful. And I think that all these decisions have to do at some point with making sure that that happens. And maybe Joe is now that guy, too, that can help Zach to be that kind of influence to kind of calm things down.
So I want to throw this at you, Steve, because we've gone back and forth on it for a couple of weeks now. So there are some people out in our listening audience that think, you know, Joe Judge gets this year. If he doesn't improve, he's gone. And I say that football's the one sport where you can't keep changing head coaches because you're just bringing in different systems for the quarterback to have to master from afar. I mean, you've seen some games in person. Do you think Joe Judge is a good coach?
I think he's a good coach. He's a nuts and bolts coach. I mean, a lot of coaches today need to be generationally appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe's old school. But I always felt like the Giants were that team generationally through time that were going to be the most buttoned up, nuts and bolts team, coach. That's who they've been for a long time. So to embrace that, I like Joe being the coach. It embraces the past. It embraces the Bill Parcells and the Maras and all the owner and like who the Giants have been generationally. So I like that. And I agree, of all the teams that need to be stable and not be flipping around, flopping around like a lot of other teams and organizations, pick a coach you believe in and give them the space to go be great. And so to me, that needs to be, for the NFL, they need the Giants to be that team. And so I'm going to hope that they give him the space because I think it speaks to who the Giants are. And if he can build a team in that tradition, I'm all for it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, here's the rub for me, Steve, is that there's a very good possibility they're changing general managers if they have an awful season. And unless they promote from within, if they finally think outside the box and bring another GM, I don't want to pigeonhole that guy into saying, you can be my GM, but you have to keep Joe Judge. So I'd like to keep Joe Judge, and I do think he's a good coach that's had a really tough first 2 years, but I'm not going to limit my choices at general manager because he has to keep Joe Judge.
It's a fair point, Don. It's a fair point, because when you bring in a GM, the referendum on the owner never gets done. So we're stuck with that. And that's good or bad. It depends on the team, but we never have a referendum on ownership. They're made. So that's a problem too. By the way, so many teams suffer from bad ownership, and so we keep going around in a cycle. I don't feel like that way with the Giants at all. But if you're going to make this, kind of that big change to GM, what GM worth his salt would take the job and not be able to divine his own future with the people that he really believes in? And so I think that's a huge problem that, I don't think it's insurmountable. I think you can, if the GM is the guy you want or the woman that you want, wouldn't it be great? And you find a person that kind of gets that done and rings the bell, and then you say, look, what do you think about Joe? And they say, I don't mind Joe Judge. I think it'll just give him the time, but just know he's got a short leash with me. It's okay. But as long as you don't lose the GM that you want because of it. And I don't know that a GM would accept that. So it's hard to say, Don. But if you're going to change GMs, yeah, that's a big move. You got your quarterback, you think. You got your coach, you think. But now we're going to switch GMs? Doesn't sound like the Giants to me.
All right, so last week you were at the 49ers home park, and you treat it like royalty. How about in Tampa Bay? Do they know who you are there?
The good people of Tampa Bay do remember the old days, and so it's kind of fun. I was on Tom Brady's podcast recently, and we laughed about it. Just tells you the state of the Buccaneers at the time. In 1986, we were 2-14, but for whatever reason, the Buccaneers felt like they needed to give out, and maybe they have historically, an MVP, even though it was a 2-14 season. So I was told, and then I get traded to the 49ers the next year in 1987, and they told me, hey, Steve, you won the MVP of the season for the Buccaneers last year, 1986. We'd like to hand you that trophy at halftime of the 49er game since you'll be down here with the 49ers.
Ooh.
And so I go out and halftime, tell Bill Walsh I got to go accept the MVP trophy of the 2-14 season, and it just so epitomizes the situation in Tampa Bay at that time. There's a much of love that I have for the place, but there is a lot of pain in what I saw generationally. Not just me, I only played one full season, but generationally, the Jimmy Giles and the James Wilders and the guys that put their careers here who were great football players and the toughest humans I've ever met and never got the opportunity to show it the way that they could have if they were in a different place.
Do you have that creamsicle jersey anywhere in your house?
I do. Not in the house, but I store stuff. So I know it's in the storage somewhere. Someone asked me, I told that story about the MVP trophy. Like, do you have it? I'm like, I got it somewhere. It's got to be somewhere.
So
beautiful.
By the way, I think I told you guys, but the creamsicle material, and I don't know if it's because it was such an odd color back in the 80s, but it was triple, quadruple ply. Like here in Tampa, you put on this jersey that is like made for the Everest to climb Everest, and you go out in 90-degree weather. I was always thought to myself, could we make it any harder? Could we do anything to just make it that much more difficult than to wear the creamsicle that's triple, quadruple ply when everybody else's jersey is like light as a feather? So that just tells you something else.
So what does a Steve Young Thanksgiving look like?
Ah, please.
Oh, it's very traditional. Turkey, mashed potato. You gotta look. You gotta have green bean casserole, number one. Gotta be green. You gotta have the sweet potatoes, the brown sugar sweet potatoes, and corn. And I don't want orange rolls. Don't bring me
any kind of flavored roll. I don't want raisins in them. I don't want nuts.
What do you want?
You can bring me a croissant, but it's got to be a traditional great right. roll. Don't give me some crazy roll. And then all the pies, man. Any pie is possible for Thanksgiving. I don't care what it is. It could be – go ahead.
I've always heard that about you, Steve. But but you know what I'm going to recommend right now? This is very simple. If you want a biscuit – the straight up from the tin, like Pillsbury biscuits, are delicious.
Yeah, you bust on the counter. You bust them on the counter. And bust
yeah.
them open.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
100%. 100%. Underrated. 100%.
Well, you know we love you. We want you and your family to have the most wonderful Thanksgiving, yes. and we look forward to talking to you next Monday. But have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope everybody gets a chance to unplug, be with their family, and find a way to. Create more love in the home, man. Let's do it. Let's do it together.
Absolutely.
Love you, Steve. Thanks, man.
Well said.
Okay, see you guys. Take care.
Steve Young Report brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of this year's show, The Michael Kay Show, and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees, and FW Webb and Weil McLean Heating Contractors. FW Webb is your one-stop source for top-quality heating equipment and parts. One great example, Weil McLean Boilers. Turn to one of FW Webb's over 90 locations today online at fwweb.com. Peter, I couldn't agree with you more. Those are so good. You crack it open against the side of like the kitchen table, right?
You don't need anything fancy biscuit wise.
No, you put them in the oven, right? Oh. And then they come out and there's like a steam to them. And then you just open them up and you just put a little pat of butter and you see it melt. I'm getting a little emotional.
You don't have to spread it. Just
put the butter there and
watch it melt.
You don't need to spread. Don't spread if you don't need to.
No.
Let it
melt in.
Last year, Natalie and I, the day after Thanksgiving, we made Don the leftover turkey sandwiches with the biscuit as the bread.
Oh, boy. Wow. Don, you know that Peter and Natalie are coming over this Friday, right, after Thanksgiving?
Good. Have fun.
Yeah, because we didn't ask you because you don't like to travel.
And I'm holding the fort here.
That's right. You're doing the show.
Yeah, he's got a program.
Yeah, you got a problem.
I wonder if Yes is going to climb aboard for those 2 hours.
I really doubt it.
Show me something.
I think there's no chance. First of all, they don't know when the show is going to start.
That's the hard part.
We have ways to communicate to each other.
Yeah, but you don't just start a TV show in the middle of by the way, that's the end of Yankeeography. 15 minutes.
Well, and
into
also
Mickey
like
life.
And how much work do you think on Thanksgiving Friday they want to put in just to get a 2 hour show in?
Yeah, I don't think
let's
it
get
sense.
Out of the Chambliss home run game in 3-2.
Yeah, and here's the pitch by Littell.
Let me think about it.
Here's Don. You never see Chris like round the bases. Anyway, let's take a brief timeout. We got some baseball stuff. There's a new Hall of Fame ballot. Oh, yeah.
I was looking at it.
This is going to be very telling, Donnie. Mm. We'll talk about it. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.